Today in the webinar series Onboarding in OMS, we'll start talking about Azure Automation. Basically, Azure Automation, as I've already been introduced, I'm Stan Kalabot. I work for Innovative, and I mainly focus on Service Manager and Azure Automation. So I have quite some PowerShell love to share. So on the agenda, we'll position Azure Automation within the Operations Management Suite. Then we'll provide an overview of the capability. And today we'll have a more deep focus on runbooks and assets. Once we've discussed the runbooks and assets, we'll also look into security. And lastly, we'll touch some or give some introduction into configuration management. But as a more deep dive session is planned on DSC configuration management within the operations management suite, we'll only touch, we'll only see a small introduction. So, as I've already said, Azure Automation, it is part of something larger. The name isn't quite right. It is automation, but it can easily target any cloud. With that, I mean that it can target Azure, it can target Amazon, or even on-premise infrastructure. So the name doesn't really fit the technology that we'll discuss today. So Azure Automation is mainly about automating processes and also enable configuration management. And with configuration management, I mean that we can manage and report and deploy a desired configuration to your service hosted in, as I already said, any cloud or even on-premise. So if we look into some more detail what Azure Automation actually is, then it basically runbooks. And runbooks are PowerShell scripts, PowerShell workflows, and graphical runbooks. During the demos, we'll go over each of these three types of runbooks. But the most important thing to remember is that scripts are actually or most commonly used to execute day-to-day tasks. PowerShell workflows are, on the other hand, used if you need a certain persistence or you need the capability to check in your workflows. So for example, if a workflow fails during a user onboarding scenario, that you can easily resume it from a certain start point. And then we have the graphical runbooks, and graphical runbooks are like, I consider them more a bridge between PowerShell scripting and what we know today with orchestrator runbooks, where you really have a visual-like interface. The next most important resource within Azure Automation are assets. And assets make up what your runbooks make thick. So it covers modules, PowerShell modules that you can import into Azure Automation. It covers variables, credentials, certificates, schedules, and connections. And connections can be considered as a special type of assets within Azure Automation, really specific to Azure Automation. And it's basically credentials with additional variables. For example, an Azure connection contains the credentials to connect to a certain Azure subscription, for example. And then we have hybrid workers. Hybrid workers is a concept that enables us to execute runbooks within your on-premise data center or even within any data center or other clouds where you need to execute certain runbooks in an isolated environment. Of course, we also have jobs, and jobs can be considered as the instances of runbooks that have been executed, or, and this brings me to the next topic, configurations. A configuration is actually a certain set of features that you would like to have enabled on a service. And once that's configuration is compiled, a job will be created. So as I said, configurations, within configurations, we have three types of configurations. We have the desired state configurations, so the definition. We have the nodes that are linked to our configuration. So those are basically the servers where you can send a configuration to a server that you want in a certain type of desired configuration. And then we have, as a third, the desired state configuration node configuration. So that is basically the configuration compiled for a certain node. And that all actually makes up an automation account. So let's go to the first demo, and let's start with creating a automation account and actually go over through over all the resources that make up such a automation account. So let me open up my browser, and to create a new automation account, we click New, Management, and Automation. And now we will get a prompt where we need to provide a name. So OMS onboarding series, for example. Our name will be validated. We'll create a new resource group, and a resource group is basically the metadata of all the definitions that we will create today. So OMS onboarding series, I'll provide the same name. Click OK. My resource group will be created. I can select any subscription that I want. And then I need to specify a region. As you can see, Azure Automation is not yet available in all regions. But in our case, West Europe is available. And as you might know or not know, everything within Azure is high available. So this even goes for Azure Automation. So it's basically Azure Automation is a hosted cloud environment where you can host runbooks and configurations. So even if we point to or create our Azure Automation account in West Europe, it will be high available, and everything that we create within our automation account will automatically be backed up in other regions as well. And then we have a last one, the account option. So this basically says, do you want to create a tutorial runbook? Yes or no. And for this demo, we'll just leave the default. Now we just need to hit create. And as you can see on my dashboard, currently the automation account is in the process of being created. This should only take a couple of minutes on a good day. But I already prepared an automation account. So once an automation account is created and we click on it, we get provided with an overview. So as you can see, an automation account is provided or lives in a recent resource group within a certain location and within connected to a certain subscription. And as I already discussed or have shown you within the slides, we have different types of resources. So we have the runbooks, we have our jobs, we have hybrid worker groups, we have the assets, and then we have the three DSE configuration assets as well. And we get some more details on job statistics as well. So for example, if we click on assets, as I already mentioned, we have schedules, modules, certificates, connections, variables, and credentials. Credentials hold authentication mechanism, so username, passwords, variables, old variables, and they can also contain secured variables. Then we have connections. As I already explained, it's a special type of asset that lives within Azure Automation. And for example, if we select the type Azure, you can see that, for example, we have an authentication mechanism here based on certificates and a subscription ID. So it's basically a mix of credentials and variables. Then, of course, let me just click yes. We have certificates if needed. And then we have modules. Modules are PowerShell modules that you can import. You can upload your own modules using the add a module icon, or you can even browse the PowerShell gallery. And PowerShell gallery is, I think, no, it went general, it's general available since a couple of weeks. And those are actually publicly available PowerShell modules created for and by the community. So you can easily browse any module that you would like. For example, if we need something about OMS, we have a magnificent OMS search module available. We can just click that module and start importing it within our Azure Automation account after clicking a few times OK and next. And as you can see, the module is now being imported within our Automation account and will be soon available. And then, of course, the last one, we have schedules at our disposal, but schedules we'll discuss later when we start interacting with Runbox. And then, lastly, we also have the Runbox asset. And as you can see, I already have a couple of runbooks available. Same as with modules, you can easily click add a runbook to create a new runbook or to import an existing runbook. So you can easily upload any PowerShell script located on your hard drive and import it easily within Azure Automation. But for example, during this demo, we can create a new runbook. We'll specify a name, or new runbook, for example. And we have the possibility to choose a different runbook type. So PowerShell refers to PowerShell scripts. PowerShell workflow is PowerShell workflow. And then we have the graphical type of runbook that we can create, where we can start using drag and drop scenarios to build our automation workflow. So let me just click on those. And for example, if you look into a runbook and click on it, we get some more details. Of course, we have jobs linked to our runbook, and if you look into a runbook, we can get presented by the actual contents of our runbook. Our runbooks, and then lastly, we have our DSC configurations, DSC nodes. So those are servers which are subscribed to that service. So as you can see, we can easily add Azure VMs or even on-prem VMs. VMs living in any other cloud, for example, Amazon, can be considered as on-prem VMs to onboard them within Azure Automation Configuration Management. And lastly, I also wanted to point out that you can hook up any source control system. For example, currently available is GitHub, and Visual Studio Online is coming soon. So basically, this enables you to push any runbooks to a source control system, and then the source control system automatically brings in those runbooks or those PowerShell scripts within your Azure Automation account. So Now that we've discussed or provided an overview of all the resources available within Azure Automation, the next thing, of course, is how can we actually start managing or authoring those runbooks? And this brings us back to our slide deck. So as you already saw, within the Azure portal, we have the capability to see the contents of our scripts, but we can also easily edit them. So the Azure portal provides us an easy to use text editor, and the same goes for the graphical runbooks. So we also have a graphical editor at our disposal. Next up is the also familiar PowerShell ISE environment, where the Azure Automation team also provided an add-on where we can easily start interacting with Azure Automation. Then, of course, we have the full-blown Visual Studio version, an add-on exists to start creating PowerShell scripts. Visual Studio Code is also worth mentioning. It's a very lightweight program available for Windows, Linux, and Macintosh. And it provides easy-to-use source control integration. So with that, we can easily link, for example, if you have set up the source control integration for your runbooks in within the Azure Automation account, you can easily start pushing your runbooks to your source control system, and then the source control system link set up within Azure Automation automatically imports or is capable of importing your runbooks. So once we have our runbooks, it's also important to look at interaction. So how can we start, stop, edit runbooks actually? So again, as I already mentioned, all those actions are available within the portal. But we also have an Azure Automation PowerShell module at our disposal, so we can actually start importing runbooks via PowerShell, starting, stopping them, etc. I also mentioned the Azure Resource Manager API. It's worth mentioning, as you're not only limited to using PowerShell, but any C# code or whatever can actually interact with the Azure Automation account that we just created. And in the backend, the PowerShell module also uses those APIs. We can also start interacting with runbooks using schedules. So for example, we can easily create a schedule to start a runbook at a certain time. For example, if you want to start, stop your VMs, this is actually the demos that I will use throughout the remaining of the session, that we can actually start a runbook using a schedule. We also have the possibility to start runbooks based on Azure Alerts. And this is currently in preview and can be enabled within our operations management suite workspace. And I'll show you that as well. And then, of course, runbooks can call other runbooks as well. There's only one caveat, and that is that PowerShell workflows and PowerShell script runbooks can currently not interact because in the backend, it's a PowerShell workflow is compiled code, whereas the script lives as a script. And then we have also the concept of webhooks. And this is basically a URL that we will get. And once fired or invoked, a runbook will be triggered in the backend. And I also have a demo for that. So let's start with the demo. And how we can actually start interacting with those runbooks. So let me go to the runbooks. For example, we have this graphical runbook, Stop Azure RM VM, which I basically imported from the TechNet gallery. So As you could see, you have an icon browse gallery where you can easily import community runbooks. And if we look at the runbook, we'll be provided with a very graphical flow. So it's kind of bridges the gap between what you know today in Orchestrator and PowerShell scripting and PowerShell workflows. So as you can see, it basically goes step by step. So we'll get our subscription ID as a variable. We'll also get our Azure credentials. And then we'll connect to Azure. And then depending on what we provided as a parameter, we'll get a single VM, get all the VMs in the resource group, or get all the VMs in our subscription. This the results will all be piped. And piping is a PowerShell concept, so there's no difference here. Then in one single variable, then we'll get the VMs with the status. And the status is important in the next flow, where we'll decide if a VM needs to be stopped or not. For example, if a VM already has or started. If a VM is already started, there's no need to call or start the VM again. And then we'll output some notifications. If, for example, we want to modify this flow, we just click on Edit. And then in the left pane, you see that we have control over all the assets available to us. So commandlets available within our modules can easily be added using a right click or a click on the three dots and add to canvas. If we add to canvas, you will see that our commandlet is pinned to our canvas, and we can start linking as within Orchestrator those different activities. So let me close data. And then we can go to the assets, for example, schedules. And for example, we can add a schedule. We give it a name. Starts at, let's say, 10 a.m., for example. We want it to occur daily. It runs every number of days one. We can also set an expiry date if needed. And then we can create a schedule. Once our schedule is created, we can start using it within our runbooks. So if we go back to our runbooks, for example, the Stop Azure VM, we click on Schedule. We can link it to an existing schedule. We select our schedule and we click OK. And so now every day at 10 a.m., our runbook will be triggered. Another possibility to invoke a runbook is actually to call a runbook using a webhook. A webhook provides us the capability to invoke a runbook using a URI. So it's quite easy to click on the webhook icon, create a new webhook. We'll need to provide a name, enabled yes or no, please do select yes, and an expiry date. We can set this long time in the future so it doesn't really expire, or you can easily set it to expire within a couple of 100 years. And then we have the URI that is provided to invoke that runbook. So I strongly suggest that you copy that URI and save it in some place safe, in a password manager or your CMDB. As once we click OK, the URL will not be available to us anymore. So do copy it, save it somewhere, place it somewhere safe, so you can start using it, and do not need to create hundreds of webhooks to invoke a runbook. So once we have that runbook, we of course need to invoke that runbook. So for example, I already have something prepared here. Make it a little bit bigger. So we have a URI. We have, we can, as we invoke via a URL, we can specify headers, and we can also specify a body. So we can inject data within our URL so that our runbook can actually start processing. So here, for example, I provide an array of two VMs within a certain resource group name, and we convert it to JSON, and then we invoke the REST method using a POST method, the URI, our headers, and our body. And this will bring back a job ID. So once we go back to the portal, you will also see that the runbook is invoked and that a job instance has been created. But before we execute that, and this is something that I forgot, we'll have a look at the start Azure RMVM with Tech runbook. And let us quickly edit that one. And this is a PowerShell script. So it's not a graphical or Windows PowerShell workflow, it's a script. And as you can see, again, we have all available resources in the left. It's a basic script where we'll get our credentials and subscription ID. We'll log in and we'll find all the resources with a certain tag name. So we have a schedule tag from 9 to 5. And for each resources that are found within that have that tag schedule, we'll check if it's a virtual machine, and then we'll get the details of that virtual machine. And we needed to provide the parameter dash status, otherwise the status of the machine will not be outputted. And then we basically have two different statuses. We have a provisioning state and a power state. Provisioning state reflects if a machine has been successfully provisioned or is still in a deploying state. And then the power state will indicate if the VM is running, if it's stopped or deallocated. So first, we'll check if it's actually provisioned, because otherwise there's no need to take any action on that VM. And only if a VM is stopped or in a deallocated state, we'll start that VM. And otherwise, no action is needed. And so we'll start that runbook, but I'll use the test pane where I have some easy or a sort of commandlet command window where I can test my runbooks. Note that testing actually executes the runbook, so actions will be taken. So I just click the start button, and as you can see, my runbook is now being queued for execution, and this should only take a couple of seconds slash half a minute. And as you can see, it went from a running from a queued state to a running state, and we should see some outputs very soon. And those this runbook will actually, if I go back to the portal, I already created two VMs, one in a stopped and one in a deallocated status, like member 1 and member 2. And as you can see here, we already connected to our environment using my account. We're looking for the resources with the tag schedule set from 9 to 5. And we found a couple of machines. We're now evaluating the status of our visitor machine member 01 in resource group TechNet 2016. And we're starting it as it has a status of deallocated. And once that VM is started, we'll also see that it found member 02 in a stopped state, and it will also start that VM. We can speed those things up, like, for example, converting this PowerShell script to a PowerShell workflow where we have the advantage of using parallel execution. But this is out of the scope of our demo. So, and as you can see, member VM1 is already now in a starting state, and soon we'll also see member 2 going from a stopped state to a starting state and then into a running state. So if we then go back to our PowerShell script to invoke the actual runbook to that runbook via webhook, we'll actually stop those servers. So I needed them in a starting state before we could actually stop them. So let me just execute this. Oh, I think I messed up my URI, so I will quickly go back to the URI that the webhook that I previously created. And as you can see, we'll get a job ID returned, and then we can go back to the portal. As you can see, we have our job ID, so we successfully triggered our runbook. And then if we go back to the portal, to our automation account, runbooks, and then we have our stop Azure RM VM from webhook. We click on that. As you can see, we already have a webhook connected. I'll click on jobs. And as you can see, our runbook has been triggered. It is in the starting state, but more importantly, I want to also show you the input parameters that we provided. So we have webhook data available at our disposal when triggering runbooks through a webhook. And as you can see, we have the webhook name, and more importantly, we have the request body, where you can see that it's not very, very fancy displayed, but you can see that we have our name member 01, name member 02, located in resource group name TechNet 2016. And we also specified our from in the headers, and it has been triggered by stamp in the color box. So this will actually loop through, and it's now in a running state, and it will actually shut down those member 1 and member 2 VMs again. If we look at that runbook, it's nothing more than a PowerShell workflow in this case, where we receive an object called webhook data, and this is been documented in the within the Azure Automation documentation, and this is basically a standard layout of a runbook that can be triggered or leveraged via webhook and leverage those data passed to the runbook. So we have the webhook name, we have access to the headers, and we have access to a body. And within that body, you can mention or put anything, and can be considered as providing parameters to our runbook. And lastly, of course, we also have as ways to interact with, we have an add-on available And that is actually not shown. No, I don't know what happened, but my runbook experience just disappeared. Just type in an Azure automation account to see if it triggers adding the add-on that I have installed. No, it doesn't. So I'll put the link in the slide decks and a screenshot. And basically, it is an add-on for the PowerShell ISE, where you can log into Azure using a visual representation, and it can download all the runbooks available within your Azure Automation account. So you can edit them locally, and then once you've edited them locally, you can upload them again to your automation account. And that even goes for all the assets, like, for example, credentials, connections, etc. So, but let's move on and have a look at our next topic, and this is our hybrid scenario. So as I already mentioned, Azure Automation is actually a bad name because it doesn't really target Azure alone. It can target anything, any cloud, any on-prem infrastructure. So if we look into Azure, we have our automation account with all the runbooks, and that can target Azure resources, but we can also deliver our runbooks to an on-prem machine, and this is the concept of a hybrid runbook worker. A hybrid runbook worker is basically a server located on your on-premise infrastructure with a Microsoft Operations Management agent. And here we clearly see the link with OMS, where I've now talked about Azure Automation as a standalone solution. But now we need to link it to our Operations Management Suite workspace to leverage the capabilities of a hybrid runbook worker. So once we have our hybrid runbook worker, we can actually start executing runbooks locally. So this, for example, means if we want to automate our VMware infrastructure, for example, we can leverage a hybrid runbook worker to connect to that VMware infrastructure and start creating VMs, for example, or creating storage on our NetApp, for example. So as I already mentioned, we have a link, or we need a link with our OMS workspace. We'll install a Microsoft Management Agent, link it up to our OMS workspace. Then up next, we need to link the OMS agent running on our hybrid worker and register it as a hybrid runbook worker within our Azure Automation account. And of course, we'll demo that as well. So let me go to my dashboard, click on my hybrid runbook worker. Currently, as a demo, my VM lives in Azure within an isolated environment. So it has no real connectivity. Let me just log in. Yes. And what I've already done is I already linked or installed the management agent. As you can see, for example, in our workspace, we have connected sources. So I downloaded already the agent and I linked it with my workspace and my primary key to identify within my OMS workspace. So if we then go back to our hybrid runbook worker, I just need to import a certain module, and that module comes with the installation of the monitoring agent. Once we import that module, we have one commandlet or function at our disposal, and it's called add hybrid runbook worker. And I already provided the needed information within my parameters. So we need a URL that links to our Azure Automation account. We need an authentication key, and we need to provide a name for our runbook worker group. If the name already exists, the machine will be joined to that existing group. Otherwise, it will create it. So let me execute that. As you can see, the script is running and it is completed. So if we go back to our portal within our automation account, we click on hybrid worker groups. And as you can see, I have now one VM connected or linked to my hybrid, to my automation account. So I can now start executing runbooks on my on-premise environment. So let us just do that. So we go to our automation account, we go to runbooks. I have a runbook get hello from hybrid. And it basically just outputs some running services and will say hello from hybrid runbook worker. And as you can see, now that we have registered our hybrid runbook worker, we have an additional capability, and that is our run settings. And we can run that runbook in Azure, or we can select hybrid worker. Once you select hybrid worker, you get a prompt to choose the hybrid worker group. As you recall that we once we registered our hybrid worker, we needed a private worker group name. And for example, this can be useful to have several hybrid worker groups in one data center or in over several data centers. And one group can, of course, contain multiple runbook workers. So if we click OK, the runbook is submitted and will soon turn into a job and dispute. And once it's started, we'll get a list of running processes or services, sorry, on our on-premise machine, the hybrid 01. So in the meantime, this is queued. Let's go back to the slides and discuss security. As everything within Azure, also Azure Automation leverages role-based access management capabilities. And RBAC is actually used to segregate different duties within Azure Automation. So it is important to note that this is on the level of the automation account. So you can have several automation accounts targeting different environments, for example, development, acceptance, and production, with a different set of security applied to it. So the basic roles that are available are owner, contributor, reader, automation operator, user access administrator. So I added it as a note, but it is quite important to know that service administrators and co-administrators of a subscription are already assigned the owner role once you create the automation account. So these rights are actually inherited, where other users are or access rights are not inherited, but assigned. An owner, for example, is the owner role and allows access to all the resources and access within the account. And an owner has also the capabilities to assign access to other users, groups, or applications. A contributor, on the other hand, allows you to manage everything, but access permissions cannot be modified. So he cannot modify other users' access permissions. An automation operator has actually a role where you have the rights to start, stop runbooks, so actually start interacting with runbooks, but has no access to, for example, credential assets. So as for example, if you allow your help desk to interact with the automation runbooks that you created, you can easily assign them an automation operator role, so they do not have access to credentials that you use to automate your Azure infrastructure or VMware infrastructure or Amazon infrastructure or whatever. And then lastly, we have a user access administrator, and that's a role where you can actually start managing other user access. As I mentioned here, read access, add access, and selecting roles can be managed from within the portal, but also the Azure Automation PowerShell module provides capabilities to manage RBAC. So if we go to our portal, again, it's on the level of our automation account. We can click on the people icon, and we have access to our access management. And if I click on roles, you exactly see all the roles that come by default within Azure Automation, and you can start providing granular access to your users or consumers of Azure Automation. This brings me, in the meantime, we can have a look at our runbook that we fired, get hello from hybrid, which should have been executed by now, and it is completed. And if we go look into our output, you can see that the runbook shows all the running services available on our hybrid 01. But some of the output is already has already been disappeared, so my write output is not available. So, and lastly, if we go back to the slides, once we discussed security, we also have configuration management. And configuration management is Azure Automation desired state configuration. So I do not know if you are familiar with PowerShell desired state configuration, but it's actually a concept where you can write configurations with PowerShell syntax. So it's a configuration that you can start pushing to your service, Windows or Linux, to bring them in a certain desired state. For example, I want the server to be a web server with website X running on that. So this is what desired state configuration tries to achieve. So Azure Automation DSC is actually a DSC pool server as a service. So it's actually a service hosted in the cloud where you can push, report, update the desired state of any VM. So that means Windows and Linux in any location. So as I already showed you, you can add onboard Azure VMs via a click on the button, and on-prem VMs as well. But on-prem VMs can be considered Amazon VMs if needed. So, and as I already mentioned, it builds on top of PowerShell desired state configuration. I'll already showed you the DSC configuration, the nodes, and the compiled configurations very briefly. But we do have a follow-up session planned on the 4th of April that goes a little bit more into detail on how you can leverage configuration management within Azure Automation. So this brings me to the end of my presentation.